Amen. So last week we looked at the church of Sardis in the book of Revelations, chapter 2. Sorry, Revelations chapter 3. We looked at the church in Sardis, the Lord Jesus Christ examining the church in Sardis. Excuse me. And unfortunately, the mark of the church in Sardis, the results of the examination of the church in Sardis was that it was a dead church. May this not be our portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of the things we looked at, you know, looking at the church in Sardis, that we also asked ourselves that the question, it's not about what the church is or what the church is not. It's not about what the pastor is or what the pastor is not. We said to point our fingers to ourselves because we are the ones that make up the church of the living God. And as goes us, so goes the church. As goes the pastor, so goes the church. And it's very important that we as Christians, we take notes, we take heed of these lessons that we're learning from these churches in Revelation. Because it's not at random that the Lord Jesus Christ would write to these churches. These letters, as many things in the Bible, are to us an example of how we ought to live. Are to us an example of what we should look out for not to do. Are to us an example of what the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for. Today we will look at the church, one of the two churches that had no faults that the Lord Jesus Christ came to them for. And each time that we read about the churches, the first thing we will read about is that I know your works. I know your works, which tells us how important it is to live that scripture that we have been saved. We have been saved unto good works also. We have been saved that we might do good works in this earth. And the church, the last church we'll be looking at, well, not the last in the series, but the last church in the seven churches is the Church of Philadelphia. The Church of Philadelphia. And I'd like us to open our Bibles to the book of Revelations 3, and we'll read from verse 7. Revelations 3 from verse 7. Will Sister Lolaido please read Revelations 3 from 7 to 13?
Revelation 3, 7 to 13. Write this to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. This is what the one who is holy and true, who holds the key of David, says. When he opens the door, no one can close it. And when he closes it, no one can open it. I know what you do. I have put an open door before you, which no one can close. I know you have little strength, but you have obeyed my teaching and were not afraid to speak my name. Those in the synagogue that belongs to Satan say that they are Jews, but they are not true Jews. They are liars. I will make them come before you and bow to your feet, and they will know that I have loved you. You have obeyed my teaching about not giving up your faith. So I will keep you from the time of trouble that will come to the rest of the world to test those who are alive on earth. I am coming soon. Continue strong in your faith so no one will take away your crown. Where do I stop? Sorry.
13.
I will make those who win the victory pillars in the temple of... I will make those who win the victory pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, that comes down out of heaven from my God. I will also write on them my new name, Everyone who has ears should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Lola. Now, some of the things I want us to do today is to sort of contrast what we have read about this church, the church in Philadelphia, the church in Smyrna. Those were the two churches that had a lot of praise. To compare what were the things that we see of these churches that the Lord Jesus commended them for. We know of the church in Smyrna. They saw themselves as being poor, yet the Lord said that they were rich. They saw themselves as people who are being persecuted. And the Lord even encouraged them that, yes, they have been persecuted, but there's more persecution even coming. They loved him. Here, the church of Philadelphia, one of the key words that was that they had little strength. I don't know whether it was strength in finances or strength in the things of the spirits, but we know that they had little strength. And what encourages me about this church is what the Lord said to Paul when Paul was praying that the Lord will take away an infirmity that was given to him. The Lord said that in your weakness, my strength is perfected. In your weakness, my strength is perfected. And this speaks volumes in the life of a Christian or in the life of a church. Remember, one of the things we said last week was that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to examine, his examination of the things he sees is very different from the way we see ourselves. Some of the churches might think that, we have everything going. We are doing everything for the Lord. Many of them were doing everything in their own power, not of the Spirit of the Lord. Some churches thought that, we are doing little. We don't have much. But the Lord is telling them that they have a lot. They're doing a lot. So the examination of Christ many times is antithetical to the examination we think of ourselves. Here they thought that they had little strength. But not knowing that in their having little strength, they had a lot of opportunity for the Lord and his Spirit to now take over to do what he wanted through them. In life, we sometimes think that it's from a place of me being strong, when I have everything going, when I have everything together, that I can do what needs to be done. Many times, that place of strength and us thinking we have everything together, it robs us of the opportunity to always call upon God. It used to be Leonard Ravenhill who said that you don't really have Jesus until Jesus is all you have. I'm paraphrasing. You don't really have Jesus until Jesus is all you have. Sometimes, when there are alternatives, you can easily run to alternatives. You can easily call upon alternatives. If you have an uncle that has wealth, if you have an auntie that has influence, you can easily call upon those alternatives in times of trouble, in times when you have a need. But if Jesus is all you have, if there's no alternative for you to call upon, if there's no uncle who is a minister, if there's no auntie who is a doctor, and all you have is Jesus and Jesus alone, believe me, that would be the first person you will call upon. So at times for us as Christians, we have to make ourselves vulnerable to our Lord, to make ourselves depend upon him first and only. Because it is from that place of weakness that his strength is perfected in our life. It is from that place of you thinking and you knowing that, look, without Christ, I can do nothing. That Christ will now be the one who will do all through you. This morning I was just laughing at certain things. Many times we've had over the years, over the decades, when you hear Each church has a new slogan for the year. You know, one year being the year of breakthrough, another year being the year of whatever, divine opportunity, divine, you know, they have those slogans. And I was just laughing at, okay, what was this year's slogan? Was it the year of council? 2020 started, we reached March, and that was the end of 2020. We're approaching December. We don't even know where the year went. Eh? And everybody has a slogan they started the year with. Where are we today? You know, so many times, you know, we think that we have everything in control. We will do this for the year. We will do that for the year. But the Lord is showing us over and over again that except He allows it, no one of us has anything in our control. We can appoint. We can say we will do this, we will do that. But unless the Lord gives grace to do it, none of us will do what we plan. Because our life, our time, our days are in the hands of God. So this church called Philadelphia, and you know, there's a play on words there also that I see. So it's interesting. You know, phileo is another word for love. So Philadelphia, the play of word, is the people who love. You know, Philadelphia in America, in which state is Philadelphia again? It's in the state of Philadelphia, right? Okay, no, Philadelphia.
The city of brotherly love.
The city of brotherly love, thank you. Yeah. Okay, so exactly, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. So it is that play on words, Philadelphia. And I see this church, the love for the Lord Jesus Christ. See some of the things the Lord said about them. In verse 8, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have little strength. You have kept my word and you have not denied my name. You have little strength. You have kept my word and you have not denied my name. You know, for years when we have learned as a church about what it means to love Jesus, Jesus expressly said it when he was speaking to his disciples. He said, if you love me, what will you do? Can somebody tell me?
Keep my commandments.
Thank you. If you love me, keep my commandments. For Sister Buki, the evidence that her husband loves her is buy me roses, buy me car. No, that's not Sister
Buki. Nope. That's not true.
Nope.
But for Jesus, the evidence that we love Jesus is we will keep his commandments. You know, when we do marital counseling, we have that book that we go through called The Five Love Languages. You know, for some men and women, the evidence that their partner loves them is they will do acts of service. For some, is they will give encouraging words. For some, is that they will give gifts. The love language of Jesus is simple. Keep my commandments. And that was what this church of Philadelphia, what they were known for. They loved Jesus. They kept his commandments. Not only that, they did not deny his name. Remember the city in which they were, one of the things he said about them was that they had, in verse 9, indeed I will make those of the synagogue of Satan. So within that city was the synagogue of Satan. And we touched about this a few weeks ago, you know, talking about the environment in which they were at that time. At that time in Asia Minor, they were under Roman occupation. One of the things that the Romans demanded was emperor worship. And here were some Jews who had compromised with the Roman states. They were in their synagogues, but they were persecuting the Christians, just as Paul, in his early years, persecuted the Christians. There were some Jews within the city in their synagogues that they said they called upon the name of God, but they were persecuting Christians. And remember what Paul said. Not everyone who says they are children of Abraham are true children of Abraham. It is those who call upon the name of the Lord, whose hearts has been circumcised, who have Jesus as their Lord, who are the true children of Abraham. So they had strived against these people who were in the synagogue of Satan, who said they were Jews, but indeed they were lying. He said, I will make them come and worship before your face to know that I have loved you. Verse 10 again, because you have kept my commandments to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on earth. Let me read that again, that verse 10. Because you have kept my commandments to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on earth. How do we know this? Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelations. And I want to, this same Revelations, go to chapter 9. Let's go to chapter 9. I'd like Toby Dare, could you please read from verses 1 through 12? And Tosin, would you read from verse 13 to the end of that chapter, chapter 9, Revelations 9?
Revelations 9. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it, like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down on the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not allowed to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes. During those days, people will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads, they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails with stingers like scorpions, and in their tails they had power to torment people for 5 months. They had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek is Apollyon, that is destroyer. The first woe is past, two other woes are yet to come.
And touching to, where should I stop?
21.
Okay. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of the mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. I heard their number. The horses and riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. The heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. a third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke and sulfur that came out of their mouths. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads with which they inflict injury. The rest of mankind who were not killed by the plague still did not repent of their work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols they cannot see or hear or talk or work. None did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their theft.
Thank you. So we see in verse 4 of 9, it says that those locusts that came out of the bottomless pits, they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. It is possible for us as Christians to be marked by God, to be saved by his gracious hands. Now, I know it is encouraging to hear that, you know, in this next year, in this next decade, things are going to get increasingly better. You know, things are going to be fine. But in the past decade, two decades, brothers and sisters, I wish I could tell us, from what I have seen and from what the Bible has told us, that things will be better. But this is not the case. This is not what we have seen. What we have seen is that in the past two, three decades, we have seen, you know, disasters here and there, sporadically, you know, sometimes rarely one event or the other. In finance, they call some events black swan events. You know, COVID-19 in finance was a black swan event because it was an event that was unprecedented. We have not seen it before, and it happens. In the past many decades, a black swan event will happen maybe once in 10 years, once in 20 years. Now, in the past decades, two decades, it's like black swan events have been happening so close together, and they're even getting close together, that in the next decade or two, we might be having events like that are unprecedented nearly every year. This chapter 9 of the book of Revelation, it is not a symbol. It is not symbolic. We might not understand or know in what form this locust will come, because the person who wrote this would not have been a person who lived in the time of the future. You know, if he saw an army tank, he would not know what an army tank. If he saw an helicopter, he will only describe it in what he knew. So whether these were animals or soldiers, I don't know, but it is not symbolic. A time will come when these things will be released from the bottomless pits. Where did this virus called COVID-19 come from? Whether it was man-made, whether it was from animal to man, we don't know, but it came. So a time will come when some of these things will happen. We've only lived how many years? The oldest of us maybe has lived 80, 90 years. I remember a few years ago, we had these locust-like looking grasshoppers called cicadia that were so loud, and those come every 17 years. Who knows whether they are animals who come every 100 years, every 1,000 years. But these things, they will happen. That there will become a time when people will see things that would make them afraid. But the elect of God, those who have been sealed by the mark of God, they will be saved from these things. How God does it? Simple. He said it. Those who obey his name, he will put his mark upon them. He will save them from these things to come. In the second part, when the other angel was loosed, the other trumpet, You know, and these were the things that will be poured upon the earth before the coming of the Lord. The sixth angel, we read that that one's own wrath that will be poured, a third of the population of the earth will be killed. How it is going to happen, I don't know. But there will be a host of soldiers and armies. Some people have said that will be the third world war, a thermonuclear war. You know, COVID-19, how many people have we lost all over the world? Maybe, is it less than 1 million? Even if it's, let's say, 1 million, okay? The population of the earth today is over 6 billion. 6 billion. That is, we're saying about 2 billion people dying. 1 billion is, 1 billion is 1,000 million. So when you take 2 billion, you are saying 2,000 million people. COVID-19 has taken maybe 1 million people all over the earth. And we are saying 2,000 million people will die. And in those days, people will look for death and they won't be able to find death. The only hope that the world has is Jesus. And you know the interesting thing? Even after mankind has seen all these things happening, people will still remain. In verse 21, they will not repent of murdering. They will not repent of sorcery. They will not repent of sexual immorality. They will not repent of stealing. They will not repent of the sins that the world is being punished for. They will not repent of the sins that is drawing the hearts of men away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say this. These letters to the churches, one of the things we read about for some of these churches was sexual immorality. Some people will be in church who are being led into sexual immorality. And we might think, you know, is that within our time? Let me show you. We talked a few weeks ago about this sexually deviant practices of men today and women. Okay, there was a time when some of these practices were codified as mental diseases in medical books. Over time, it was taken out of mental disease in the medical books and became mainstream. Became mainstream enough for it to be shown on TV, for the hearts of men to be desensitized to certain practices that they see. From there, the church began to, from tolerating it, began to say, we've got to move with the times because the Bible has to be progressive. From there, the church started blessing some of these sexually deviant practices. And sooner or later, the church will begin to teach these sexually deviant practices as this is part and parcel of what God wants. In the book of Romans, chapter 1 and chapter 2, we read that the people who had the knowledge of God in their hearts, they knew God, but they would not honor him as God. They would rather worship the created being rather than the creator. That the Lord himself would leave them over to a depraved mind. They, their women, will burn in lust for women. The men will burn in lust for men. Today, it is not cool for the youth to say, a sexual deviant practice is wrong. They want you as a Christian, as everybody, to celebrate them. Now, because of the confusion that is upon the earth, we no longer have male and female. You have it, you have they, you have them, you have so many things that even English language is being confused itself now. And please, can you mute Sister Success? that even English language is being confused. And we have to know as Christians the times in which we live. Like I said, these things, they are not going to get any better. The only difference we can make is that just as we have a hope of the coming of the Lord said that we should purify ourselves because of the hope we have of his coming. Now, the first time that Jesus came, he came as a lamb to be slaughtered for the sins of man. That was his first coming. When he was born of a virgin, he grew up as a child. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask us this question. Sister Bola Olubumi, what is Christ Jesus coming for the second time he comes?
Chosen people.
He's coming for his chosen people.
Yep.
To do what with them?
To take us to be with
him. To take us to be with him where?
In heaven.
In heaven. What next?
Tribulation.
Tribulation?
Yes. Judgment.
Okay. So after we are in heaven, tribulation will happen. What happens after that?
I don't know, brother.
Okay.
So, I mean, there'll be tribulation, there'll be, as we're reading, you know, there'll be suffering, torturing for those who do not believe in Christ.
Very true.
First, the dead in Christ will rise, and then those who are alive in Christ will rise to be with him after the trumpet sounds when the Lord comes.
Okay. So, you're going to do a research, and you're going to show me where the Bible tells us that we're going to be with him in heaven forever.
Okay.
So, Sister Kike, you next. What is Jesus coming to do again?
The Lord is coming back to reign here, to reign here back on earth.
Okay. Thank you. The Lord is coming to reign. That is true. The second coming of the Lord is not as a lamb any longer to be slaughtered. He is coming as a king and as a judge. Now, when he reigns on earth, what is he going to reign over?
Your question was when he comes to reign on earth.
Mm-hmm. He's coming to reign, yes.
Yeah. He's coming to reign over all of us, the saints who remain.
Only the saints.
He's going to reign over everything. You know, he's the Lord's dominion, his initial plan, which was that we will reign with him forever and reign over all things, and he will become king over all things. That would happen at that time, yeah.
Thank you. That's true. That is true. And that is the hope that makes us purify ourselves. Because at the time of the coming of the Lord, people are still going to be burning children. People are still going to be wedding. Everything is still going to be happening. But this time, the peace that has eluded the world for so long will now happen because the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, will now come to reign. That is when all the kingdoms of this world, now we have the kingdom of Trump, the kingdom of Boris, the kingdom of Putin, the kingdom of Xi Jinping, all the kingdoms of the world will now come under the feet of Jesus. All the kingdoms of this world will now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Guess who would now become co-regents and rulers with him? Thank you, Brother Wally. We, as Christians, are now the ones who are going to reign with him. Those, because when he's coming this time, those who are dead, who will have been raised up again, those who are alive, who will have been changed, we will now reign with Jesus. We will now reign with Jesus. That is the hope that makes us purify ourselves. Now is a time of examination. Now is a time of training. Then will be a time where we will be put to work. We will be put to action. But if now your brother does something against you and we want to take your brother to court, how would you reign then over cities, over dominions, if you don't know how to settle things between your brother and you now? This is the time of training for us as Christians, brothers and sisters. Now is the time we are learning his commandments, the command of the king. What does he like? What does he not like? We do his commandments. We become familiar with it. Now is the time to love him, to commune with him. Lord, what would you have me do? Because believe me, the Lord will not need to struggle with anybody then to obey his command when we are reigning on earth with him. That is the time we hope for. That is the time of true peace upon the earth. The pact that Trump just made between some of the Arabs and the Israelis, it's only temporary. Lasting peace cannot come upon the earth until the King of Salem, the Prince of Peace, comes back upon the earth. This is the hope that makes us purify ourselves. We are going to reign with him. We're going to be his. In that day, the tabernacle of God truly will be with men, because Christ will be with us. He will come back as king. He will come back as judge. All of the kingdoms, all of the kings, all of the peoples who have set themselves against his saints, they will come, they will worship at his feet. And we will be his. But before that time comes, what does it say? We purify ourselves. We persevere. Because hard times are still coming. How it's going to come, I don't know. COVID-19 is the junior most brother of what we are yet to see. Because if a third of the population of the earth can be done away with just like that, we, as they say, we ain't seen nothing yet. But this is the hope that we have. He's able to keep his own. He's able to keep his own. Those upon whom he has set his seal, no matter what comes, he's able to keep his own. As much as they are crying in the West, it was Italy today, it was England yesterday, it was America. Many African countries did not suffer as much as this. Why? How? I don't know. But many of them are preserved. Maybe it's because many of them don't have the technology that the West have. And if it really got into the society, it will have been devastating. You know, it always amazes me. Where, as much as the Western world, they wrote about Ebola, COVID-19 has taken 10 times more people than Ebola has. And I ask, what's all the hoopla about Ebola then? But, brethren, the Lord is able to keep his own. Let us keep ourselves in him. Let us be weak in him so that his strength may be perfected in us. Let us do his command. Let us love him. Because the day will come when he will boast of us before all men, those who have kept themselves pure for him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we pray, Lord, that you will keep us, not in our strength, not in our wisdom, not in anything we could do of ourselves. Grace comes by you. And it is this same grace by which we have been saved that we know will keep us till the very end. Lord, you said we shall purify ourselves. Those who have this hope in them, they purify themselves. Let your examination, let it continue. Let it continue in us. Because herein do we know that you love us. When you can examine us, you can sift us, you can try us, you can chastise us, you can encourage us. We just open ourselves up to you, O Lord, because we are yours. We are yours. You are the one who has saved us while we are yet in our sins. We cannot complete this in the flesh. So teach us how to follow hard after the Spirit. Give us strength by the Spirit. We pray until the very end to be able to persevere. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Marabumi. We thank the Lord for his word. It's always it's necessary to remember what the race is and what Christ has called us to. And I don't know, there's a song coming to my spirit. It's an old song. I remember I used to hear it years ago. If anybody knows the song, please raise it for us as we close out the service. The song says something like, when Jesus comes, will you be there? When the trumpet sounds, will you be there? When Jesus comes to take away his people, oh, ask yourself right now, will you be there? Does anybody know the song? Nobody. Well, I pray that the Holy Ghost will keep this word in our hearts. The only important question is, on that day when all services will close, where there'll be no more preaching, nothing else to be said. On the day when, in the book of Revelations, the Bible says the mighty men of the earth will look to the mountains and say, hide us from the terror of he that is coming in the cloud. And it's a day on the calendar. Where will we be? I think that's what we've heard today.